Hymn number 246 is where we are.
246. This is what makes services interesting. Memorable.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen. Number 55. And then we'll have a reading and then we'll take another couple.
You can stand if you like. I'll just sing this one and hopefully get things right with the machine first go.
Morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of His resurrection share. When His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. when the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
And you may be seated, that's good order. If you're redeemed, when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there.
Turn tonight to Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had have declared to servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Norman, for reading this morning. I want to thank Steve too for his suggestions for Bible readings as well. I'm not actually going to do another reading yet, but I would like to bring a few verses from Psalm 37 before I am done. I just want to remind you to make sure you get one of those wee green prayer lists, and please do cast your eye over it. It takes all of like 2 or 3 minutes to read that and to call all those names out to God in heaven. And we figured it out this morning that for the 6 of us that were here this morning, that if we just prayed one, just looked over that one day and just prayed one day, everybody in the church would be prayed for every day, and I am sure your name would be thought of on the Lord's Day whenever you got here. That's just with 6 people. And now there's 6, 7, 8, 9 people here, and if we all prayed, you'd be prayed for 1.5 times every day. So please do take that. Is there anybody here that is a top-notch assassin or soldier? Is there anybody here that runs a government or looks after a huge bank? Is there anybody here that can command legions of soldiers? No. See, our battles are not fought with fists and feet. Our battles are fought in our hands and knees in prayer, and that's why it's important that we pray. If you're saved, you need to pray. Like Samuel said to Saul, God forbid that I should sin against God and ceasing to pray for you. We shouldn't stop praying. Please do. Of special note, Pat and Steve and Esther, please do remember them if you would. Their health prohibits them from being here. And Esther has a couple of neighbours, Eddie and Anne, and a wee grandson, Mason. Please do remember them. I just thought we never mentioned them this morning. And of course, the folks on the road and the folks that get CDs, please pray for them. And all the faces that you see here, pray for us too. And each one of us has at least a few requests that are mentioned. And if anybody has a private prayer request, let me know and we'll write it down, and people will say, Lord, I don't know what Norman's private prayer request or Mark's or Will's is,
but would you help him with it? Would you grant it according to your will? So please do remember that. Please pray for Joanne. She had her baby. I think she's in hospital with an infection or something, isn't she still? So please do pray for her. I think Ling's the go-between there. If you haven't already put your name on a little card for Joanne, please do put it there and we will pass that on to her. If you have put it there, thank you. Yes, please do pray about the purchase of the land. There are obviously things going on somewhere. We were informed that the land was worth £40,000. And then that Ebrington Presbyterian would be helping us and giving it to us for only £10,000. And then when the surveyor came up, he shared with us that he would be able to pad the value up to £10,000. That the land wasn't worth £10,000. That the original estimate on the value of the land was based on a amount of land of which we only have about a tenth. So please do pray about that. Our charity commission thing goes ahead or not, as the case may be. Everybody is in the same boat. And to be quite honest with you, given the way things are in the country right now, I don't think too many people are going to be too much put out if they don't get their charitable status sorted out. We certainly won't. But that's that. I'd like to... please remember to pray for Christine and Will, for Carol and John and Stephen and Norman, all of who lost loved ones this past year and a half. We feel for you because we miss all those folks too. And you're much thought of in prayer and much remembered. And we look forward to the day when we can see all those folks in their glory, in their glorified bodies in heaven. Which might come quicker than you think, the way things are going right now. Please do pray for America. More importantly, please do pray for Arlene Foster. And I was going to say, what's the name of the woman in power in England? Boris Johnson. And another interesting... That's a man, actually. That was a purposeful mistake. I just read the other day, again, on Nicola Sturgeon, who's leading in Scotland. They have now banned even smacking in the house for children in Scotland. You're not allowed to chase in your children at all. So, Bible says otherwise, and until God comes down with Tipex or rubber, any children that I am responsible for will get a lick or two. That's something worth remembering if you ever give them to me, to babysit. They'll get a lick or two if they need it. And of all the children that I have ever chastened, not one of them hates me. In fact, they all love me and respect me better. So in some cases, better than their own parents. So please do remember that. I think that's all by way of prayer requests. I appreciate Will reading. I don't want to read just yet. We'll have a wee word of prayer, and then I want to read a couple of verses from Psalm 37. Heavenly Father, I do indeed thank you, Lord, that we have this freedom to meet here this evening, and I pray that you would bless all the heads that are bowed in your presence and the families that are represented here, Lord, and of course those that are remembered as well. We're not forgetting all those that gave their lives Lord, maybe had to live lives minus arms and legs and severely wounded as they fought for the borders and the freedoms of our country. I'm so thankful we don't have German as our first language, Lord, and a picture of Hitler at the back of the church. But Father, we do pray you for the leaders of our countries right now, that you would put your good hand upon them and never let them go, Lord. For every soul that brings a prayer before you for their leaders, that you would convict them till they get saved, and don't let them go, Lord. Please put your hand upon Boris Johnson, upon President Trump, Lord, upon President Xi, Putin, Kim Jong-un, Lord, the leaders in North and South Korea, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, especially Israel, Lord. Father, there are so many. For the people that we know and minister to, Lord, please bless and keep them.
I think especially on Pat and Steve and Esther, Lord. And Father, I just pray you please that you would be with Christy this evening and give him the words to speak. Just inspire him, Lord, and open his lips and fill them, and open our understanding, Lord, and fill that too. Just thank you for loving us. Please, Lord, comfort those that have lost loved ones. And there will be many more. I pray too for Rita's family and for their salvation. And Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. All right. I don't want to cut into Christy's time, but I want to read you a couple of verses from Psalm 37. I love Psalm 37, not because the most famous verse in it is Mark the Perfect Man, but these first half a dozen or so verses are very, very good. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." Amen. Thank you, Chris. God bless you, brother.
Take another favorite, big book or small book, doesn't matter. Anyone got a favorite hymn?
have one more before we get into our message. Let's stand as we sing 149. Your Bibles, take and turn to Acts chapter 10 with me. I was reminded during that hymn that this world is not our home, and it's good, just with recent events, it's a good reminder, no matter who's the leader of the free world, that God's still in control and heaven's still our home. We're called to be a light and called to pray for the world's leaders, no matter who it is, so just keep being that light and keep praying. Subject tonight is the church open to all, the church open to all, or the open to all church, whichever you prefer. We're going to read 33 verses as we start Acts chapter 10, aiming to do this in two parts. This chapter, that is, I know the last one probably took about four parts, but trying to move through quicker, and just this almost aligns into two parts. So, the open to all church. Starting at verse number 1, Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band, called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending onto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down unto the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thy common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee." Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Amen. Mark, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to come before you for life and health and strength, Lord, for the liberty that we still have in our country to worship and praise you. Please bless this time in your presence. Please, Lord, speak to each one of us. Please, Father, walk up and down the hall here and just touch us and minister to us, Lord, as you see fit and as we need throughout the service. And Lord, don't be done with us whenever the service is over. Bless Christy, supply him with the words, even beyond the notes that he has made already, that we need to hear tonight. We just thank you for loving us, for your Son, for your Word, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, for being born into a country where anyone can get saved. And Lord, we lay this, our thanks at your feet, and our prayer requests and petitions at your feet, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Love you and praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And finishing off Acts 9 last week, we spoke on the topic of the church with the testimony, where we've seen Aeneas and we've seen Tabitha. Aeneas was bedridden for 8 years of sick of the palsy, and he was healed. And many, because of that healing, seen the effect of the power of God and got saved. Tabitha was dead, was raised from the dead, and many seen that. Many had seen her dead and spent time in the house weeping and wailing and just sharing the works that she had done for them, to them, in the sight of them. And once they seen her raised to life, seen the effect of the power of God, and gotten saved, many believed because of the testimony of these two folks. The early chapter of Acts gives us a glimpse into the opening days of church history. The Christians in the early church were predominantly, primarily Jews. But yet as early as Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, we're told, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So very early on it was clear that this church wasn't going to stay within the bounds of Jerusalem, but it was going to spread. The gospel was intended for all people and open to all. God loves the world, he loves everyone in the world. John 3:16 is one verse of many that tells us that. God is not willing that any should perish as another. We're all different, we all have different backgrounds, we all have different jobs and titles, different families, different political beliefs almost. Very distinctions, but God loves each and every one. God loves each and every one, and it is the Lord's will that we should love and reach all men. In this passage we see we're introduced to a man called Cornelius, a Roman centurion of the Italian band in the Roman army, leader over a century of men, that's why he's called the centurion in the band. A devout man, not yet saved at this point, but he was clearly exposed to all the Roman gods. But one that seeing that looked at the Jews and their traditions and followed them and feared the God of the Jews with all his house, it says in verse number 2. He was a giving man, a caring man, one that looked upon the poor and gave what he could to them, which gave much alms, verse 2 is a testimony of him at this point. But because of it, he didn't do that just to look good, he did that because of the next few words. He prayed to God always. And Cornelius shows us really a true pattern of prayer. As he's praying in the sixth hour, it doesn't say here that he was praying, but as he recounts it in Acts chapter 10 and verse 30, he tells Peter that he had been praying at the sixth hour, which was noon. And what he does is he sees a vision. But I don't know what his prayer was, but he's not yet saved, and there's a belief, and I used to be of this belief and used to openly express it, that God doesn't hear the prayers of the unsaved. This proves me wrong. In fact, I actually came to note that that was wrong a long time ago, but just expressing that I was wrong at the time, that God does hear the prayers of the lost. And it is one prayer, and it must have been the prayer, God, show me that you're real. I need a sign. God, just reveal yourself to me. Lord, save me. Because when the vision comes, and this man or this angel of God comes in bright clothing, as Cornelius said, to the folks that he had called to send to Joppa, we see him and he says, your prayers has come up before God. Your alms, your good works has come up before God for a memorial. He calls him by name. He speaks directly to him. He says, Cornelius. It shows that God does deal directly with men, calls us by our names, knows us by name, regardless if we're his or not at this stage. Cornelius wasn't yet saved. But then Cornelius has a respectful fear, and it's a good thing to have a respectful fear of the heavenly and the holy. He's afraid and he says, what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? He goes on and the angel tells him, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. And at this stage, Cornelius probably didn't even hear of Simon Peter, didn't even know him. But what he did know is that I need to obey God in this. He didn't know why to call for Peter or what Peter was going to come and say. He just knew that he had to send for Peter, and he knew where Peter was because the angel told him he was with Simon a tanner and he had a house by the seaside. That's all. That's all. And when the angel, as soon as the angel was done speaking, Cornelius reacted immediately. He didn't sit and dwell upon it and think, should I? Shouldn't I? I don't even know if this man exists. Was this a crazy vision? Was this a dream? Did this actually really happen? And now, it wasn't a dream and it didn't almost physically happen. It was a vision, it says. But it was so vivid that it caused him to react. It was so vivid that he could recall it very clearly. That he heard his name, almost not in the physical eye, but in the mind's eye, he saw this. And that's where God works. God works in the inner man. The small, still voice in the inner man. The mind's eye and the mind's ear. And this is where God was working on Cornelius. He calls two of his household servants that he knew were faithful and a devout soldier who had waited on him continually, it says in verse number 7. He calls them and he tells them all things that just happened and he says, I need Jews to go to Joppa for me. And I need Jews to call for one Simon and choir of one Simon Peter. So the next day they're going on their journey. They draw nigh to the city. And about the same time, we see Peter going to the housetop to pray around the sixth hour. Sorry, I said the sixth hour for Cornelius when he was praying. That was the ninth hour. It was Peter that was praying at noon the next day. And often as we see in prayer, distractions happen. We see Peter getting very hungry in the midst of prayer. Have you ever noticed when you sit down or kneel down to pray that the phone goes? Physically something happens, you need the bathroom, you get hungry and you think, I'd love a cup of tea. You know, all sorts are going, very physical distractions happen. But God used this very physical distraction to talk to Peter at this point. Peter's on the housetop. It wasn't a strange thing to be in the housetop in these days in prayer and pray. We see Daniel in the Old Testament kept the window open in the upper room and prayed. The apostles were in the upper room in the day of Pentecost, and here we have Peter going to the housetop to pray. But he's very hungry, and he would have eaten, but while he is ready to eat, he falls into a trance, the Bible says. He sees heaven open, a vessel, a sheet descending from heaven, tied at the four corners, or knit at the four corners, as it says. And within that vessel, or that sheet, he sees all manner of beasts, of creeping things and the fowls of the air, which by Jewish tradition were unclean for them to eat. And a voice from heaven says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. It happened three times. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Again, an old pattern of Peter telling Jesus no and denying the Lord. Reminder as well that he denied the Lord three times. Three times the Lord said to him, Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And here we have this happening three times again. I think I'm getting the sense that Peter was a bit thick. He needed things said three times. So here the Lord's trying to tell him something, trying to get a message through to him, and needs to do it three times. And we see even after it that he's still pondering and doubting what the vision meant. But Peter says, not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything common or unclean. I've never broken the Jewish law of what a man should and shouldn't eat. I've stuck to that tradition. I know it forbids these things, and I'm not going to do it. We know now with hindsight and with the scripture clearly in front of us that, you know, God tempts no man. This wasn't the temptation of Peter. This was God opening those gates to the Gentiles. But the voice of God comes back to him and says, if I have called it clean, don't call it common. Mm-hmm. Don't call it unclean. It's fit for your body if God has called it clean. Three times we move on, and Peter is wondering and doubting, and this is God commanding two lots of people. A lost man commanding what he must do, and a saved man and what he must do as well. Peter's thinking about the vision which he had seen. And at that very time, the men which Cornelius had set to go to Joppa and inquire of Simon the tanner's house for one Simon Peter. And they call at the gate and say, is Simon, one called Simon whose surname's Peter, is he lodging in this house? Whilst Peter was still thinking about that vision, the Spirit spoke to him in an instance. After speaking to him in the trance and in the vision, the Spirit reassures him and said, there's three men at the door for you. Very specific too. Telling him the exact number of men. He says, get up and go with them. I've sent them. Don't doubt at all. Just go. Gives him very clear directions, and that's how God works with us. God will be very clear with us and what he wants us to do. He'll be specific. But I want us all to also to note that God wasn't just working on this disciple or apostle and didn't mention a thing to the lost man. No, he was working on the lost man's heart as well. Mm-hmm. He had been leading, guiding, swaying, wooing, albeit this was a seeking lost man, Cornelius. But Peter didn't know that he was seeking. I guess he probably did at this point. But when he first seen the trance, he didn't know. He didn't know. So we always won't know whether one's seeking or not. We can just know that God's working in our heart. We don't know what he's doing in other men's hearts or women's hearts. Mm-hmm. But he told them to go. He said, forget the traditions that you've learned. Forget the hatred between the Gentiles and the Jews. There's a purpose. I have sent these men for you. Go with them, would you please? Go with them. And again, I think it becomes clear to Peter at this stage, or on the journey on the way to Cornelius' house. But Peter asked him and said, why are you seeking me? I'm the man that you're looking for. What do you want? And they tell him that Cornelius is a just man. He's a centurion. He fears God. Has a good report amongst all the nations and the Jews. He's seen or was warned by God of a holy angel to send men of his house to hear what you'll say unto him. So now Peter it's pretty clear what Peter needs to do. It's pretty clear to Peter at this stage that the Lord has appeared to Cornelius because these men told him. So that probably puts the pieces together in his mind at this stage. That little bit of confirmation. I know when things are happening and God's working, sometimes we're thinking, could it mean this? Could it mean that? Or is God really pointing me to this person? But there's also that person I know that's in need. But the pieces were put together in the jigsaw. And here he had a clearer picture. And Peter invites them in, and this is unheard of. Jews dwelling together in the same house as Gentiles. More so than Jews, we have Roman soldiers amongst the Jews, because greater hatred had the Jews for occupying soldiers than they had for the Gentiles. But yet here Simon Peter, showing that he had a teachable spirit, that he was willing to be worked upon, he was willing to break tradition to obey God, and he lodged these men, these Gentiles, these Roman soldier. They stay with him for the night. A couple of brethren from Joppa accompany him. I don't know if they're suspicious at this stage. Is this a setup? Is this a trap to try and kill one of the forefounders of the early church, one of the pillars of the early church? I don't know. It just says that they accompany him, and they get there after a day's journey on the morrow. And here they're coming to Caesarea. Cornelius, I like this. Cornelius is waiting for them. He's expecting. He's looking forward to them arriving. And not only did he wait for them selfishly, he called his friends and his brethren and his family and said, the Lord has been in touch and there's a message coming our way and I want you guys to hear it as well, not just me. I've been praying and the Lord's answered. Will you take part in this with me? And verse number 24 is where he called his kinsmen and near friends, it says. And every instance, verse number 25, Cornelius sees Peter and he falls down and worships him. Every instance in the Bible where a man has been worshipped or an angel been worshipped, that's always been rejected. The man who is on the receiving end of worship as Peter done here, he grabs him up and says, I'm just a man. I remember John when he was in a vision in heaven worshipping one of the angels, and the angel corrected him and said, don't worship me, worship God. Mm-hmm. And this points to me to the deity of Christ again, because Christ freely and willingly accepted all worship that he received. Mm-hmm. If he had been merely a man, he would have said, worship belongs to God, it doesn't belong to me. But no, he freely accepted and willingly accepted any worship and all worship that came his way, because he was fully God. Mm-hmm. Peter takes him up and stoods him up and said, I'm a man as well, don't fall down and worship me. He talked with them as they went in, and he sees there's a crowd. It's not just one man anymore. These men who were sent to Joppa probably didn't know that there was going to be a crowd, because they just said, would you come and talk to Cornelius? Because the Lord's worked on Cornelius. But Cornelius knew that what God would have Peter say was to be important. Verse number 28 is really the focus. And I want you to pay heed to what he says here. And he says, Peter says unto them, You know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come on to one of another nation. Unlawful. The Jews made it illegal for a Jew to go in on the house or spend time with any others who was of another nation, namely the Gentiles, the Romans. Can you remember one of the accusations against Jesus was, he's a friend of sinners. And here, this is why they had a tradition where they wouldn't even have anything to do with them. One writer even says that they would go through a ritual to cleanse themselves after coming into contact with Gentiles. And two key words as we move on to the next sentence, but God. I like it when God butts in matters of men's hearts and matters of men's law. When God butts in, we know that we need to sit up and take notice. No matter what the law says, no matter what man's opinion is, no matter who's in charge and who set the law or set the standard, when God comes in, we need to sit up and take note. God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And I might become a bit unpopular here, but what that means to me is there is no denomination of a church where you are excluded from salvation. There is no sexual orientation that you have that excludes Jesus' offer of salvation. It doesn't mean that it's right and righteous. It still means that it's sinful, but it doesn't mean that Jesus didn't shed his blood for your sins on the cross. There is no political party, no football team, no job, no wife, no husband, there's no family excluded. No group of people that the offer of salvation does not extend to. No nation, no tongue, nothing. No person should be classed as common or unclean. I think it's in the book of Jude where Jude says it's a common salvation. If we're going to call all men common, well, salvation is common. If we're going to call all men unclean, well, salvation is unclean. It's for the unclean. He that knew no sin became sin, that you and I should be the righteousness of God. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. And that means regardless of what divides us, regardless of what prejudice we have in our hearts and in our minds, regardless of what we think is right or righteous or common or unclean, that should not extend in our attitude to reaching those folks or loving those folks. And that's what this is. That's the lesson that the Lord taught Peter here. He said, yes, Peter, you may have grown up at the dinner table and be taught not to spend time or keep company or make friends with these Gentiles. But I didn't tell you that. Might have been your father, and your father might have been a good Jew or a good Christian. But if he said anything other than what God says, then let's take God's steer on it. I heard one person recently challenge a preacher for a political opinion that he had shared on the outcome of the election and said, I'm flabbergasted that this has come from a pastor. Because my daddy told me that preachers aren't allowed to have a political opinion. And he was a great Christian. Well, there was many greater Christian in the Old Testament who was directly involved in politics and had a political opinion. I think of Daniel, I think of Joseph. I think of Moses. We're allowed to have political opinions, but it should not make us think that the people of different opinion are excluded from the offer of salvation. We should be a church that's open for all. Or an open for all church. An open for business, not closed by error, not closed by how someone looks, not closed by how someone speaks. Not like a bridge that closes to high vehicles and high winds. A church that's open for all. Because that's what salvation is. Once for all. Once for all. He says, I came unto you without gainsaying, without any rebuke, without any disputing, As soon as I was sent for I came, I put my own opinions, the traditions of the Jews behind me, and I came. I like the obedience of that. Let's just put it away. See, it doesn't matter where you've been because of where Jesus has been. It doesn't matter who you are, but because of who Jesus is. And it doesn't matter what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done, salvation is full and free today for all, forever and for sure. I'm sure Peter knew he was about to come under criticism for this. And I think even at one stage, just later in the book or in another account, that Peter even turns back on it, you know, and Paul has to chastise him to his face. Challenge him to the face. But at this stage, Christ has abolished the distinction between Jew and Gentile. He abolished that on the cross. And all that Jesus sees is a soul that needs saving, or a soul that's covered in the red, royal, redeeming blood of Jesus Christ and is saved and part of God's family. Let me challenge each one of us today. Are we limiting the people that we'll reach based on our opinions or traditions, based on our political stance, based on the area that we grew up in, based on our upbringing, our religious upbringing? If we are, then I ask us to read again in our own time and study out the trance of Peter here. But God has cleansed. Let us not call common, let us not call unclean. There is a real battle for men's souls in these days. If God doesn't restrict it, don't let us restrict it. It wasn't God who set denominations to divide people. It was man. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a Baptist because I'm a Baptist and I believe that's what lines up closely with the Bible. But it doesn't matter if you're Baptist, if you're Catholic, if you're Presbyterian, Mormon, Methodist, Jehovah's Witness. It doesn't matter. God's willing to save you. Mm-hmm. God is willing to save those folks. Any of them and all of them. All who will come to Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say, come unto me, all ye Baptists. And some Baptists will hate me saying that, but I don't care. That's what God says. Come unto me, all ye that labor. There is no one perfect denomination. There is no one perfect church in these days. Many churches, many versions of God's word. And let me also say this, that God can still save someone that reads the NIV. God's willing to save them too, and I know we all have strong opinions about it, but God's willing to save them too. I think our compassion, let it grow. Let us extend the love and forgiveness that have been shown to us. And I'm not saying to condone any sinful behavior or practice. What I'm saying is, let us focus as a church to reach those folks. Let us not limit who can get saved. Amen. Anyone got a closing hymn? Let us be a church that's open for all.
Blessed Old Book, number 2.
Number 2. See, well, I didn't limit who could choose a hymn there.
Oh,
no music. I'm not. Let us stand as we sing this Blessed Old Book. It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that is
says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's truth from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true, if you find when you something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
And closing with one last verse in Romans 10, verse 12, it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Amen. He's abolished that difference between us all. Well, would you close us out in prayer?
Father, thank you for the message, Lord. Lord, use it to strengthen our lives, Lord, and bond us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and to you, Father, that's in heaven, Lord. And thank you for helping us and for saving us from our sins, Lord. Lord, pray for us as we start a new week, Lord. Pray for the missionaries and the churches that are full of people tonight, Lord, or are listening to CDs or remote services through the internet, Lord. Use these services, Lord, to connect to these people, Lord, and use the Spirit, Lord, and bring them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And those who have been lost, Lord, save them also, Lord, through televised services, or CDs or internet services, or through the spoken word, Lord, or through other means of radio or whatever, Lord, use it mightily and greatly that the standard may be raised on the earth and that souls may be mightily saved, Lord, and the glory of God may be risen on the earth, Lord. Pray for the missionaries, Lord, pray for the missionaries we support, Lord, bless them and keep them and abide with them and give them in these times, Lord, give them the strength, Lord, and give them the wherewithal and also the resources and the money and the Spirit, Lord, to keep on going, Lord, to try to reach those who are lost, especially in these COVID times, Lord, and trying times that we live in, Lord. Pray for the Christian organizations, for release in the National Bodoros Christian Schools, Kids for Schools, Lord, Christian Institute, Lord, and also all the ones like the Christian Law Society and also other Christian organizations and Christians are trying to establish by press, Lord, on the country, Lord. Pray for the world leaders, Lord, give them touch them, Lord, and save their souls, North America, Lord, but also, Lord, try and teach them out and give them wisdom, Lord, that they may enact. We give godly laws, Lord, and promote godly values throughout the world, Lord, and save those that are lost, Lord. Deliver us from evil, Lord, and guide us and protect us. We go to our homes in safety, Lord, and deliver us and keep us and provide us with thy love, Lord, for a new week for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.